Hey, my name is Dr. Brendan McCarthy. I am the Chief Medical Officer of Protea Medical Center in Chandler, Arizona. Thank you so much for tuning in to my podcast. I really appreciate you coming in. If you wouldn't mind, 1 second, just go down there and hit subscribe and we can get started. Today, I wanted to talk about hormone replacement therapy, and I wanted to talk about how it's become in vogue and some of the pitfalls you guys are coming across when you see it. A lot of times I'll have people post questions online or shoot an email out to us, you know, talking about their experiences in these clinics, and or I will have patients self-refer to my clinic because of experiences they've had in these hormone replacement clinics that have been less than good. And upon, you know, examination on my end, looking at it as a physician, less than ethical and less than right, in my opinion. So I wanted to share with you my take on hormone replacement therapy specific clinics and ones that specialize in things like we're just a pellet only clinic or whatever. Let me get into that with you, because I think that's important. Hormone replacement therapy has been with us, you know, in the literature since the 1940s. You know, it's not new. And there was a lot of controversy around it during the times of its development in medical history. You know, during the time of when oral contraceptives were first brought to market, they were using really severe and high doses of synthetic estrogen that led to pathology in women. They were using variations of medroxyprogesterone acetate at high doses that caused a lot of health risks. You know, there's a lot of breast cancer cases that were associated with that and ovarian cancer cases that were associated with that. And we know that, you know, and then there was that a lot of trauma that occurred. Justin and I were discussing that earlier before this episode, you know. And I know many of you have that family history with that. We also know that in, you know, the 80s and 90s, testosterone became very popular among professional athletes. It was always in the background, sneaky people doing it. But it got really bad, like Lance Armstrong was doing it. But you know, athletes, you know, professional ball players, baseball players, all these people were hammering steroids. You know, and so testosterone, you know, hormones like that got a bad name throughout that time. And then you started seeing bodybuilders who abused, you know, massive levels of testosterone starting to die of heart pathology. You know, in the past 20 years, you're seeing high rates of that. So, you know, testosterone has a bad rap as well. It's not just birth control. And then if you remember, you know, in the early 2000s, we had the Nurses Initiative study where they just showed, the Women's Health Initiative, where they showed synthetic progesterone was linked to developing breast cancer. And when they said that, they just thought all hormone replacement therapy for women causes breast cancer. So hormones and hormone replacement therapy has been battered as it's gone up through the decades to come to its use clinically. I didn't word that well at all. I had these feelings about this. They're very strong. Whenever you have something that has been marginalized in medicine and pushed off to the far fringes or not really well managed in medicine, there becomes alternative players start to step in and start to prescribe. And it's a business. It is. And it's not a good business. So because hormones have been so battered and so sidelined and so controversial for all these years, most physicians don't want to do it. And they don't study it and they avoid it. Because I'm not going to prescribe testosterone. I'm definitely not prescribing estrogen and progesterone. I'm definitely not doing hormone replacement therapy. This is not going to happen. So they don't do it. So there's few of them doing it. So then there's now a small group saying, you know, there's a huge demand for this. A lot of people need this. I could make a lot of money doing this in a business. As soon as you see a large population of people who are desperate, who are not well, who are not being managed, that's a business model for people. That's what they do. Some of us feel the call in that moment to come in and be of service. And we come from here. It's like, these people need help. These people are not in a safe place. And so we want to be of service and we want to take good care of them. And that is obvious. And then you have others that step in and say, I can make a lot of money doing this. These people are very desperate. I could just run them through a machine and make my money. And that's what I want to talk about. When you are, as a woman, I'm going to talk about men too today too. I'm going to talk about men today too. When you are, as a woman, entering menopause and you're in the perimenopausal state and you're starting to feel your emotions become dysregulated, when you are starting to see your body age and shift, it is an incredibly insecure position to be in because your general practitioners generally don't care. They generally don't try and figure it out. They'll prescribe you an SSRI, tell you this is just a part of aging. They'll dismiss you. It's heartbreaking because I see these women in clinic. So when you have this time in your life and you're transitioning through menopause and you don't have guidance, you know, you're between the devil and the deep blue sea. Where do you go? Your primary doctor's not listening, not caring. Who will? So then you have these ads you see out there for clinics, and they always advertise themselves in that impossible way of that woman who they portray, a 40-year-old woman with a 30-year-old actress, and they, you know, manipulate her image to make her look impossibly beautiful and impossibly thin and impossibly perfect. And they show her in their advertisement as navigating the fourth decade of their life with ease. And then they say, this is what we provide at these clinics, these not as ethical clinics. So these women, and it's not a new playbook. This is old. This has been around forever. This is the same thing that you see in all these magazines. They do this to women constantly. This is just one more layer, but you are really, really going through it now. I want you to know, I know, I feel you. I know aging truly tests you emotionally, and your identity as a woman is really torn at by it. That is a truth. And you're desperate in those moments, and it is easy for unethical players to step in and take advantage of it. And sadly, they always do. So they make these advertisements that are more based upon these stereotypes and manipulative concepts that were given to you your whole lives, and they prey upon your insecurities. You get in there, and what do? You know, oftentimes they just put you on a protocol that this standard generic protocol, and they just barely do lab work, and they send you on their way. They just say, oh, no lab for you. Here's your oral estrogen, or here's your progesterone, or here's your testosterone pellets, or whatever. They send you on your way. And for a percentage of you, that will work and you will be okay. I want you to know that a percentage of you can go through that, be okay. It'll work. But there's another significant percentage of you where it won't, because it's not the practice of medicine that they're doing. It's the practice of odds. Hear me out. When you present to a clinic, your doctor's goal should never be to put you on hormones. Never. That should never be my goal. Never be my goal. My goal is your wellness. When you go to a clinic and they say, we only do pellets, it is going to be a risky thing, because their goal is to put pellets in you. When you go to an HRT clinic, their goal is to put you on HRT. Their goal is not to understand you. This is incredibly important and nuanced. I spent a lot of time thinking about this, and I really want to word this well. Please give me grace if I don't. Please, 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 please. Just know that I'm really trying to do my best in this moment with this, because it's important. There are people who are brilliant at HRT, brilliant. And their clinic are called hormone replacement therapy clinics. That's all they do. And I would send my mom there. I would send my sister there. I'd send my wife there, because I know they're good. With that said, there's a nuanced thing in this, and I want to be clear with this part. This is the part that's tricky. When you go to the clinic, you need your doctor to think about you as that whole person, not as the goal of putting hormones in you. This is so important. when you present to my clinic and you say to me, I'm having hot flashes, I'm not sleeping well, I have depression, I have, you know, I feel like I'm aging every day now. This is not right. I don't feel good. I want to understand you. I run your labs. I sit down with you. I get to know the whole of you. Sometimes estrogen is a great idea. And I'll do it. And you and I will sit down and talk about the different ways I can get it in your body that's safe. And then you pick the way we do it. And then I do my best to look at everything around it to make sure it's done right. Sometimes progesterone. Sometimes testosterone, whatever it is, I do that. But I went into the room to be your doctor, not to be selling a hormone or putting a pellet in you. It's important because when I see you, I change everything based upon you as the individual woman in front of me. And I keep looking for what's wrong until we find it together. Sometimes some of you have depression and insomnia that doesn't come from hormones. And I, as a doctor, want to know what it is. Sometimes you'll have the genetic polymorphism of MTHFR. And when MTHFR, when you have that, that's a genetic disorder, you don't make serotonin like you're supposed to. Sometimes your blood sugar is not right. That'll create anxiety, biological anxiety. Sometimes you've become so accustomed to a very toxic life. And I say that gently as I can, but you know that. Sometimes we adapt to a toxic life and we just make it out to be normal because that's the only life we have. We don't see a way out. And our body's like, this is not how I want to live my life. When your doctor meets you with a preset goal, because that's all they do, a therapy, I don't always think it's a good thing. Again, there are times when it is. If you have a significant disorder, you want to see the specialist. You want to see the best. Still, the best, I would argue this, the best doctors in the world do the same thing. Even the most specialized. My son's nephrologist, Dr. Mark Joseph, brilliant man, very inspiring man, but brilliant physician. He never just looked at my son through the lens of just what he was treating. He saw my son as a whole person. He's very inspirational to me. This is, you know, 20 plus years ago when I met him. And he sits with me to this day, how to care for people. Even when you are a specialist, you see the whole person in front of you. So when you're at this point in your life, and I'm just dancing with this mic, the sound might be weird today. I just wanted to lean into that because it's so important to me to word this right. So when you're out there and you see these clinics advertising to you, they're manipulating a lot of times your insecurities to get you to go in there, and then they're getting you to go through an algorithm that they created to get the most patients through the system at the easiest pathways that generates a profit margin, because these are formulated and created, these businesses, by business people. These are generally not physicians. And if they are physicians, shame on them. But the physician will go work at these places because they want to be a doctor. They want to make money. They want to try and make a difference. But they burn out in those spaces too. They hate them. No one likes this kind of work. The ones who do are just not paying attention. So with men, and I told you I'd talk about men. I totally didn't. In some ways, it's harder for men because as we age, you know, they market to us based upon our insecurities. of not being strong enough. And how they advertise this to us, it goes back to like, you know, outdated gender stereotypes of masculinity that are not healthy. This is not anti-aging. Think about this for a minute. This is not anti-aging. This is marketing to make a buck to sell a hormone. This is not figuring you out and helping you navigate aging in a healthy way. Not even a little bit. Doing that takes extra care and extra gray matter. Not saying, here's your progesterone, here's your testosterone, here's your estrogen. Thank you. Have a nice day. It's like looking at the whole woman or man in front of you. So these testosterone shops for guys, they always prey upon their insecurities as a man. So for men, and I want to read this, you know, there's marketing material out there that's, you know, and you probably have heard this, you know, when did it be okay for men to become softer, lazier, or weaker? You know, these guys, these marketing, these companies for men will also, you know, text the promo code WIMP to the hotline to get a discount. That's out there on the market because they're preying upon that insecurity. Just look at Facebook or Instagram or whatever platform you're looking at. There's always these ads trying to grab on to your insecurities. Now, these platforms are getting better about preventing that. There is better. They're stepping in. They're taking chances, making changes on these platforms. But still, there is these risks of you being exposed to this stuff where they're going to manipulate you and try and get you on their hormones or on their therapies. Because you're going to prey upon your insecurity as a person, as an adult who's going through aging and don't know what to do. And your primary care doesn't really know, and they don't really want to get involved in it. And you're out there figuring out yourself, and it's predatory. If you are in a place where you have no other options and you are going through, you know, if you're a man, you're going through andropause, which is when testosterone drops down precipitously, not nearly as much as with women dropping their estrogen during menopause, which is more catastrophic. But, you know, if you're going through that hormone shift and you have nothing, your primary care is not going to talk to you about it. And you don't have an option like a clinic like mine. You know, if you have to go to one of these shops, I would just say, be cautious in these times. Make sure they run your labs. Too many doctors will prescribe estrogen to women without looking at the downstream metabolites and making sure it's safe. So much so that many women don't believe me when I say estrogen, even bioidentical, when not done safe, is dangerous. Bioidentical estrogen, when delivered to a human body, it can have risks on your health. Any physician knows this. Any physician who studied biochemistry, pharmacology, understands the pharmacokinetics and pharmacodynamics of estradiol intake, oral versus topical versus injectable. We had to learn that stuff. And so when you deliver it to a woman, you need to understand those downstream metabolites. Same thing as testosterone for men. And so when your physician wants to prescribe, or one of these clinics wants to prescribe you hormones, you want to make sure they're doing lab work. You want to make sure that they're caring for you. You want to make sure that the person who's prescribing for you, you see them with some regularity, that they're spending time with you. They're showing you interest in you, your health, in your wellness. They're talking to you as a whole human being. They're not just shuttling you through the door. If they're doing that, shuttling you through the door, and you feel like they're not paying attention to you, try and find a different one. Keep trying, because you do deserve that. Navigating through this time is difficult. And I hope this didn't make it more difficult for you. I hope this helps. Please like, share, and subscribe. And please comment. Help me make this better, this message better. Help me understand what it is that you're facing, what would help you better to navigate through this time in your life. Let me know what you need. And I will do my best to provide it. Because your comments really do drive us. They really help us know how we could be more helpful. Justin and I do read these comments. They do matter to us. So thank you again for tuning in, and I'll see you the next episode.